Hey, I'm Michael, online pastor at Silverdale Baptist Church, and I'm excited to welcome you to our podcast. Now, after you listen to this episode, I hope you'll stick around for just a moment. I'll be sharing about some resources we have for you, as well as a few things going on at Silverdale right now that we would love for you to be a part of. Now, I really hope this podcast is just what you need today to help you in your relationship with Jesus.
So glad you're here today. Get your worship guide out, if you will. Flip it over to the back side. We're continuing our teaching. We're going to be in this all the way through July to this year, teaching through the book of Hebrews. But this morning we kick off this brand new series that we're calling All In. And so as we move to this next section, we're in Hebrews chapter 5 today. As we move to this next section of Hebrews, we're seeing how the Hebrew writer wants us to be all in our relationship with Christ. Well, today we're going to see the instruction that he gives us and the kind of even the warning that he gives these early believers that it's time to grow up spiritually. Ladies, I want to ask you a question. Guys, you can just kind of tune out for a second. Ladies, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever towards your children or towards your husband used the words, "You just need to grow up"? You ever said that? Just come on. My wife has said that to me before. It happened one time. Some of you are honest. I see a hand down here. It's happened before when somebody at the dinner table just let out a loud burp, you know, just one of those real loud, juicy burps at the dinner table. And everybody except for my wife is laughing and falling into the floor, you know. And I get that look of, "Randy, you just need to grow up. You need to stop." And we've kind of gotten that, and we've kind of heard that before. Maybe it's when my wife is in the bathroom and she looks at my side of the sink and she sees the toothpaste splatter all over the mirror, you know, in front of my mirror, and she just looks over there and says, "Would you just grow up? Can you not just keep that in the sink?" And those are the types of things that I hear sometimes. Maybe it's and I do this at home. If nobody else in here does this, then kudos to you. But I do this. I'll finish with a plate or a bowl or something in the kitchen, and I will go to put it in the dishwasher, which my wife tells me that's where it's supposed to go. It's not supposed to go in the sink. And so I will go to put it in the dishwasher, but then when I open the dishwasher, I realize the dishes in the dishwasher are clean. And so I look around to see if anybody else has seen me open the dishwasher. Because once you open it up and you see that it's clean, you gotta empty it. And so I look around to see if anybody else has seen me. And if nobody else has seen me, then I close the dishwasher and put the dish in the sink and slide out of the kitchen the best that I can. And then my wife comes and sees what I've done. She says, "You just need to grow up. Take some responsibility and empty the dishwasher." Well, that's exactly what the Hebrew writer is saying to these Christians in this passage. It's time for you guys to grow up. It's time for you to stop acting like children spiritually, and it's time to grow up. Now, here's one thing that I know about me, and I'm sure that it's true about you. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whether this is your first time maybe to ever sit in church, maybe you say, "I've never even really thought about God before," or maybe you're still checking it out, maybe you've been coming for a while, or maybe you say, "I'm full on into this God thing." Wherever you are, we all need to grow spiritually. We all need to grow up. We all need to mature in our Christian faith. There's not a single person in here that could say, "Hey, I got it all together. I don't need to grow anymore." And I feel like if we will all be a little bit honest this morning, if every single one of us would just kind of say something like this, you know, "I don't know it all. I don't have it all together spiritually. And so maybe there's something, as we look into God's word today, maybe there's something that I can learn. I think if you'll come at it this morning with that mentality, with that attitude, I think you'll enjoy the passage of scripture that we're gonna look at. So look at your notes. There's a few things that I want us to see and I want us to understand about pursuing growth before we look into the passage of scripture. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. Growth is healthy. Growth is healthy. Whether it's spiritual growth or whether it's physical growth or whatever it is, growth is healthy. It's a measure of health, whether or not something is growing. If it is growing, then it's healthy. In the past couple years, my daughter has really gotten into taking care of and growing plants and flowers and different things like that. She's gotten super, super good at it. And she knows just exactly where to strategically place her plants into the sunlight. And she opens up the windows at certain times and makes sure they're just exactly where they need to be. And she buys plant food for them. And she spends her money on her plants. And they're just beautiful. And she's got a great place in her room where the sun comes and her plants are just beautiful. And she knows how to keep her plants healthy. Now me, on the other hand, is completely different. As a matter of fact, when I first moved into my office almost 5 years ago, David and Maria Taylor bought me a beautiful plant. And I say when they gave it to me, it was beautiful. But I did my best to water it occasionally, and there would be some sunshine that would sometimes come through my office window. But this is what it looks like now. And it's not growing. As a matter of fact, it's dead. It's not healthy. It stopped growing. And growth is a measure of whether something is healthy or not. If something is growing, it's healthy. If it doesn't grow, it's not healthy. And Jesus wants you, listen, Jesus wants you and Jesus wants me to grow spiritually. And one of the most important reasons why he wants us to grow spiritually is because he said this. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you, say it, free. And so when we know the truth, when we grow spiritually, when we get the truth inside of us, we'll be free. That's one of the benefits of growing spiritually. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you to be trapped by all of the things that this world has to offer and all the traps that Satan has got out there for you. He wants you to know the truth and he wants you to be free. So growth is healthy. Here's another thing I want you to know about growth. Growth is enjoyable. It's enjoyable. It's not something that you have to suffer through. Spiritual growth is enjoyable. It's fun. The results of growing are good. They're good things. I remember the summer between my eighth grade and ninth grade year in school, I hit a growth spurt. And man, for me, that was fun. One of the reasons it was so fun is because my mom no longer looked down at me. She had to look up at me. And that was the greatest thing for a teenage boy is that my mom now had to look up to me. And I could jump up and I could, touch the rim on a basketball goal and my dad wasn't knocking all of my shots away in the driveway anymore. I could actually kind of hang with him a little bit. And that growth was enjoyable. And that's what spiritual growth is as well. It's enjoyable when we grow. Look at what Jeremiah said in the Old Testament about growth. Speaking to God, he said, your words are what sustain me. Circle the word sustain if you circle in your Bible. He said, they're food to my hungry soul. They bring what? What do they bring to me? They bring joy to my sorrowing heart. And they do what? They delight me. How proud I am to bear your name, O Lord. He's saying here that the growth that comes from God, it's sustaining and it brings joy and it brings delight. It makes me happy. And that's what God wants in our lives. Now, it's not always easy to grow. When we walk through things that bring growth in our life, some of those things are some of the most difficult seasons of our life that we'll walk through. Some of the most difficult things that you will face in your life, those tough times, those tragedies, those disasters, those things in themselves are not fun, but the results that they bring are fun. They are enjoyable. Let me see if I can illustrate like this. Let's say you decided that you were going to climb Mount Everest. And so you went out and you got all the gear and you bought a tent and you bought boots and the clothes and the hat and the poles and just everything that you needed to climb Mount Everest. And so you made that trek, and when you got to the very top and you look out across God's creation, what do you feel at that moment? You're gonna feel joy, you're gonna feel excitement, you're gonna feel a sense of awe as you look out at that. But if somebody asked you at that moment, was it difficult? Was it tough? Was it hard? Absolutely. It was one of the most difficult things that I've ever been through. But now that I am here, it brings joy. It brings excitement. And that's a great example of spiritual growth. Let me put it in this perspective. Let's say that you play for the LA Rams, who just won the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. And so you go through preseason. You go through all the workouts, you go through all the difficult things that they do before the season starts. And you're practicing every day and you're going through the weekly games. And let's say maybe you get injured and you have to rehab throughout the season. And you get to the playoffs and it's tough and it's difficult, but then you finally make it to the Super Bowl. And your team wins the Super Bowl and you're standing up there with your team on the stand getting ready to receive that trophy, and somebody says to you, was it worth it? Was it worth it? All that you went through to get here, and what would you say? Absolutely it was worth it because of where I am today, the joy that I feel. It's a great illustration of growing spiritually. It's difficult sometimes to get there, but the joy that it brings when you get there, it's worth it. Here's number three. Growth is God's design. Growth is God's design for you, and it's his design for me. God's the one that created life, and God knows how it works best. God decided that growth would work like this. Things would start small, and then they would get big. You take a little acorn, and you put it in the ground, and it grows into a big oak tree. It starts small, and it gets big. A baby comes out small and then grows up big. It would be weird if it went the other way, wouldn't it? But that's God's design, and that's how God decided that growth would happen. Now, God also knows where we grow best. Check out what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Jesus talks about where you and I would grow best spiritually. Jesus said, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit." And then he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus says, if you decide and say, "Yes, I want to do this, I wanna grow and I wanna grow spiritually," the place you do that is by remaining in Christ, and that's where you're gonna grow. And other people will look at your life. Here's the great thing about this verse. Other people will look at your life and they'll see the benefits that come from growing. What are the benefits? They're the fruit of the Spirit. And people will look at you and say, "Wow, there's something different about you. I don't maybe know exactly what it is, but there's something different and I wanna be like that." So growth is healthy. It's enjoyable. It's God's design. But then it leads us to ask this question. If that's the case, if it's healthy, it's enjoyable, it's God's design, why do some people not grow? Why do so many people not grow spiritually? If it's healthy, it's enjoyable, and it's what God designed for us, why don't they grow? Well, the reason is there are things out there that inhibit our spiritual growth. Let me give you a couple examples. Think back with me, if you will, to when you were a baby, okay? All the way back, roll all the way back in your mind to when you were a baby. So I mean, baby, like you couldn't even hold your head up, you know, don't have muscles developed in your neck yet, okay? You're just a baby. Think back with me to them. Now here's the deal. At that point in your life, your parents had to make a choice. They had to decide, am I going to help this baby grow or am I not? Now, let's say that your parents said this when you were a baby. "We're going to give this kid everything, okay? I mean, we're gonna go out and we're gonna get a crib that's got the Sealy Posturepedic mattress in it. I mean, the very best baby crib that money can buy, that's what we're gonna give our baby. We're gonna go out and get him some Gucci baby clothes. I mean, just the best baby clothes that we could possibly find for our baby. Then we're gonna go over to Lamborghini and we're gonna ask them if they make car seats because we want the very best car seat that money could buy for our baby. We're gonna get them a swing. We're gonna get them everything that you could possibly imagine for our baby, but we're not gonna give them any food, just no food. Everything else will be amazing, just no food for the baby. Now, that's not really a legal option in the state of Tennessee. But your parents had that choice. They could have chosen that. They could have said, we're just not going to feed our baby, but we're gonna give our baby everything else that they could possibly imagine. Now, right now you're sitting there saying, that's ridiculous. A ridiculous picture. Nobody would do that. That hasn't happened to anybody in this room. But can I tell you that the people, even right now sitting in this room, you're doing that to yourself spiritually. You're starving yourself spiritually. And you're not giving yourself any spiritual food. You're filling your life with millions of other things, just not the thing that you need the most. Now, I get it. We all have busy lives. Our lives are full with work and parenting and extracurricular activities and hobbies and relationships and school, full lives. But so many people are not getting what they need to grow. They're starving themselves spiritually. You've got no God time in your schedule. You've not carved out time to explore all the things that God has for you in his word. And you're starving yourself to death. And then you wonder, why do I lay in bed at night and I stare at the ceiling fan and I just feel so empty inside? The reason is you're starving. You're starving spiritually. Nearly every year for the last 20 years, I've taken people on summer mission trips and we'll go to some foreign country and we'll do a mission trip. And we'll invest in people's lives and we'll love on the poorest of the poor and we'll do for others. And invariably, every single time I come back from a trip like that, somebody either during the trip or after the trip will say something like this to me. I never knew this God thing was so real. I mean, this has been the most amazing experience of my life. I never knew that the whole spiritual thing could be so real and could be so alive in my life. And I look back so many times and I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I want to say the reason you feel that way is it's the first spiritual food that you've had in years. At home, you're starving yourself spiritually and you haven't had anything to eat. And so when you taste something, it tastes like the best thing you've ever had. Spiritual starvation, it's the first reason so many people are not growing. Well, there's another reason. Go back again with me, if you will, in your brain to when you're a baby. You just lay there. You didn't really do anything. I mean, if you had to go to the bathroom, you just went to the bathroom, wherever you were. I mean, you were just there. You're just a baby. Now, your parents, again, they had a choice. They could help you grow. But your parents could also have done something to stop your growth. Instead of feeding you, instead of saying no food, they could have given you bleach to drink. They could have actually taken a bottle of Raid and put a little nipple on top of it and said, here, drink this. They could have done that. And they could have poisoned you to keep you from growing. Can I tell you again, there's some of you in here right now, you're poisoning yourself spiritually. Oh, it's not that you are not eating anything, it's you're eating the wrong things. And you're feeding yourself things that are hurting you, and you're poisoning your spiritual growth. You say, well, what does that look like? There are lots of different poisons that we put into our body to harm us spiritually, but let me just give you a few quickly. One thing that we do to inhibit our spiritual growth is sexual involvement outside of God's plan. And any time that we involve ourselves in any kind of sexual involvement that's outside of God's plan, it's like poison to our spirit, and it hurts us, and it doesn't help. It inhibits our growth. Another thing is any kind of substance abuse, whether it be drugs or alcohol. And many times when we overdo these things, it doesn't just hurt our bodies or our minds. It hurts our spirit. It inhibits our spiritual growth. I think probably one of the worst things that I can think of that keeps us from growing spiritually is this little thing we call pride. Pride. And we let pride slip in, and it's saying something like this: Randy, I don't need any of this. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else telling me how to run my life. I don't need that. I'm just fine the way I am. And pride keeps us from growing spiritually. And God knew that we would starve ourselves, and he knew that we would contaminate ourselves spiritually. So we have this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11 says this: about this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. The writer says this: there's so much more about spiritual growth that I want you to know and I want you to get, but you've become dull of hearing. Now, that doesn't mean that they've gotten old and they're hard of hearing and they just can't seem to hear anymore. This is what he means. He says, you stopped listening. It's been an often repeated message, and you've just chosen to stop listening. It's kind of like when you get on an airplane and the stewardess stands up and starts going through the little spiel about what we're gonna do and the sake of emergency and all of that. You don't listen. Why? It's an often repeated message that you've heard over and over again, and you become dull of hearing. You put your ear pods in and you stop listening. That's what he's saying here. Verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. He says here, you stopped growing. As a matter of fact, by this point in your Christian life, you should be a teacher. Now you still need someone to teach you the basics of God. Look at what else he says about spiritual growth. He said, you need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment. Circle the next word, trained. For those who have their discernment trained, by constant, how do you do it? Practice. Circle the word practice. To do what? To distinguish good from evil. Circle those three words if you do in your Bible or on your notes. Trained, practice, to distinguish. Verse or chapter number 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washing, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. I don't want you to miss those three words that I just told you to circle. The word trained, the word practice, and the word distinguish. As we learn to grow in our spiritual life, those three words are important. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to train ourselves. Check this out. We're supposed to train ourselves to recognize what is right and then put it into practice. That's what spiritual growth is. Train yourself to recognize what is right and then put it into practice. That's spiritual growth. I'm getting into God's word and I'm training myself to recognize what is right and then putting it into practice. That is spiritual growth. Now my mind goes automatically when I hear about training, it goes to sports. Imagine if I went out for the high school football team in high school and the coach said, we're not having any practices. No spring practice, no summer practice, no fall. Just on August the 27th is our first game. Everybody just meet me in the parking lot. And so we all just show up in the parking lot on August 27th and he says, hey, this here is the locker room. We've never been in one before, but let's go in here. Hey guys, each one of you are gonna need one of these. It's a helmet. Put these on your head. These are shoulder pads. Put them on your shoulder. Don't turn them around the other way. That's how they go. There's some thigh pads, some knee pads. Put them inside those pants and everybody put them on. Now, in just a second, we're gonna run out on that field and we're gonna play a football game. And then he calls me over to him and he says, Randy, this is what I want you to do. First play, I want you to run blue 32 split right on two. And I would say, I have no idea what you're talking about. What does that mean? We haven't had any practices. We haven't done anything. And now all of a sudden you want us just to get out there and do this? Well, we wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that in athletics. So why do we think that we can do that in our spiritual life? Never spend time in God's word, never spend time in prayer, and then expect to understand and know how to run the plays in life. The writer says you're acting like babies spiritually. You should be growing up and moving on to solid food, but you're still drinking milk. He's saying you still got a sippy cup with the lid on top. It's time to pop that thing off and act like an adult. And honestly, it's a ridiculous picture that's being painted here for us. I have two children. When both of them were babies, we fed them. We put them in a high chair and we'd get the food out on a spoon and we'd do the airplane or the train or whatever to get them to open their mouth and put it in their mouth. And that was fine. But eventually, what did they have to do? They had to figure out how to feed themselves. My son's 26. But imagine if he came over to my house and he just laid on the sofa like this and said, Mom, I'm hungry, come feed me. Mom, my tummy hurts, come burp me. Mom, I need to go. No, we don't go to the bathroom. You say that's ridiculous. And it's a ridiculous picture. But so many people live that way spiritually. And God is saying, if you starve yourself, if you give yourself no food, or if you poison yourself spiritually, you're always going to be an infant. Instead, we learn in the passage, he said, it's time to eat some solid food, to grow in your faith, to act like a grown-up, and you'll be mature. You'll know what's right and what's wrong. You'll be able to recognize it. You'll be able to put it into practice. Well, there's good news. And let me close with these points. There's good news. If you're starving yourself spiritually, God wants to feed you. And if you've been contaminating yourself, God wants to cleanse you. But it does require some steps on our part. So how do you unlock the doors of spiritual growth? How do you begin to do that? What are some practical ways that you can walk out of here today, tomorrow, and begin to grow spiritually? Let me go through them quickly. Here's number one. You have got to decide that growth, spiritual growth, is a priority. You got to decide that. You have to say, this is going to be a priority in my life. Hebrews 12, verse number 11 says this, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, what does it do? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. A couple Thanksgivings ago, I was at my sister's house in Birmingham. And I did as we always do at Thanksgiving. I ate way too much. And then I came home. I was feeling bad about myself. And so I stepped on the scale and I was not happy with the number that was coming up on the scale. So we got a new scale in our bathroom. No, I decided I was gonna do something about it. And so I started going to the gym 5 to 6 days a week a priority. And I get up early, 5 to 6 days every week, and I go and I work out and I exercise and I try to do something to better myself and to lose some weight and to look a little bit better. And there are benefits that come to that, but it's not easy. It wasn't easy. You know why it wasn't easy to jump into it? Because I'd been out of it for about 30 years or so. But it produces benefits. And if I'll stick with it, I think eventually my wife will be a little happier with what she sees. And if I get picked on by a 12-year-old girl, I'll be able to defend myself. But there's benefits when you make it a priority. If you decide to grow spiritually, it's not gonna be easy. Listen, it's not gonna be easy just to jump into it. But the Bible says no discipline seems, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. It's gonna be tough. But you've got to say, I'm going to make spiritual growth a priority in my life. Here's number two, unlocking the doors of spiritual growth. Number two, discover people and programs that'll help you grow. Not only do you have to start by saying, this is gonna be a priority for me, okay? I'm not going to just become spiritually mature by accident. It has to be a priority. But now if I'm going to do it, I've got to discover people and programs that will help me grow. Hebrews 12, verse number one says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want to encourage you to do what this verse says. Realize that there are other people in this race with you. There are other people besides you that want to grow spiritually. So look for those people. Look for other people in this spiritual race to come alongside of you, and you come alongside of them. People who are also witnesses to this same faith. Find the people in the program. One of the greatest programs that we talk about around here all the time is a small group. Get in a small group. Be around other people that are on the journey as well. Now listen, everybody in every small group in our church and in every church, they're not all spiritual gurus, okay? There are gonna be people in there that you say, man, they're a long way down the road. There's gonna be some people who say, man, they hadn't even really started on the road yet. But we're all in this together, and we're growing together, and we're coming alongside of each other. But one thing I will promise you, when you get into a small group, you're gonna find people that are at least taking their faith seriously. And saying, I want to be in this for the long run, and I want to grow. This coming Wednesday morning, we're kicking off a brand new men's Bible study right here at this campus. We've already got 43 guys registered to be a part of this Bible study. It's a great way to begin to grow spiritually. Take it seriously. Jump in and begin to learn what spiritual disciplines look like for a man. It's not too late for you to get registered and signed up for that. It starts this week. Here's number three. How are we gonna unlock spiritual growth? Number three, you have to develop some personal spiritual growth habits. You have to do something on your own to begin to grow spiritually. You see, that's one step beyond some program. That's one step beyond, well, I'm just in a small group, or I came to that men's Bible study, or I went to the Wild Game. No, it's one step. It's doing it on your own. Psalm 51, verse number six, the Bible says this, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. How do you get God's truth in the inmost parts? It's you take it seriously to say, hey, this growing spiritually, it's on me. It's not just on Randy or Pastor Tony to teach me God's word. It's not just on my small group leader. It's on me. I gotta take this seriously. You see, I believe that every growing Christian needs to develop growth habits aside from what you get in church. Church is great, but you need some growth habits on your own. Let me give you several just quickly. They're there on your notes. These aren't exhaustive, obviously. But a great place to start is daily Bible reading, daily time with God, reading God's word, and then listening as his spirit speaks to you through his word. Time in prayer after you've heard him speak to you, then you speak back to him. Involvement in a church body, that's finding a place where you can say, this is my church home. This is a place where I can use the gifts and talents that God has given me, and I'm involved here. Practicing generosity. It's saying, God, I'm giving back to you a portion of what you've given to me. Practicing evangelism. What is that? It's just telling other people about the most important thing that's ever happened to you. It's your salvation. Great spiritual growth. It's a great place to start. There's lots of great books out there. I'll put several on the screen for you just very quickly. Some great books out there that could help you with this, help you getting started. If maybe you're brand new about this, our guys are getting ready to go through A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Habits for Our Holiness, Celebration of Discipline, The Life You've Always Wanted. Fantastic books to help you begin to have those personal growth habits in your life. Here's the fourth one and the last one. If you're gonna unlock the key to these spiritual growth in your life, the fourth thing you need to do is determine to grow for the long haul. Determine, I am going to grow for the long haul. You see, the spiritual journey, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not, let's just go see how quickly we can get there. It's a marathon. It takes a while. It's a thing that you develop over your entire life. Philippians 1:6 says this, I am sure that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Listen, I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. And what God started in you, he will finish. And God will do the impossible, but you got to take that step to do the possible. You got to do your part, what you can do. You got to take those things seriously and take your responsibility. You got to make it a priority. Find the people and the programs. Develop those habits and then decide, this is me for the long haul. I learned some trivia a while back. Did you know that there is one part of your body that continues to get bigger and continues to grow even as you get older? It's your ears, yeah. It's your ears. I wrote it down because I knew I'd never remember this. The circumference of a person's ears increased 0.51 millimeters per year. I know some of you say, I don't believe that. Go over to your grandparents' house and just compare ears, okay? Some of you got little cute, dainty ears right now. When you die, they're going to be big old ears, okay? Listen, I want to challenge you to be a spiritual ear, to just always keep growing. Just never be satisfied and never say, I'm staying right here. I'm going to keep growing. Become a spiritual ear. If you do that, you'll experience God's design and his plan for you. Father, thank you today for your command in your word to grow, for the example that you give us of these early Christians that weren't growing, and what you intend for us to do to grow to become spiritually. God, help us to make it a priority. Help us decide, I'm gonna find people in places, people in programs. God, I'm gonna look for other people that can come around me. I'm gonna decide that this has gotta be personal for me, not just something the church does for me, and I'm gonna do it for the long haul. Let that be so in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope this was helpful to you. If while listening, you realized you need to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us by clicking the link in the show notes to our website and then clicking the Connect Card button. In our weekend worship services, we are in a sermon series called The Seven Commands of Christ. Jesus gave dozens of commands, and as followers of Jesus, we should obey all of them. Over the next several weeks, we are focusing on seven that will change your life. We would love for you to join each week at one of our campuses, or you can attend online. You will find service times by clicking the link in the show notes to our website. You know, there's so many ways for you to get involved and be a part of what God is doing here at Silverdale, and we really want you to feel welcome and a part. So please, stay connected. Be sure to like and follow us on the different social media accounts. You'll find all the links in the show notes of this episode. And lastly, help us spread the word about this podcast. Take a moment to share this episode with your family and friends. Again, we appreciate you listening and hope you will join us again next time.